Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Okay, so I'm going to make a defense of the boobs real quick.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined as always by the voice of CinemaSins, Jeremy Scott.
Hello.
And from Music Video Sins, Barrett Scher.
Hi.
And we will be doing another mini-pod of Logan today, straight after the Get Out one we just did.
That's right.
And everything.
Nipping at its heels.
As Barrett was saying.
We are overwhelming you with mini-pods.
We are. We're doing a podcast mini-pod orgy right now. Logan... made its, you know, standard $85 million for what a Wolverine movie usually kind of does on opening weekend. But I think this is one that people are liking. And one, the odd thing about this one is that they got James Mangold back, who did the last one, the Wolverine, which was terrible.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. It's weird to me when a movie like that comes out and it's like basically a failure and they're like, let's get the same guy. I mean, it wasn't really his fault that last one was terrible. And it probably wasn't. Let's be honest. It probably wasn't his fault. Anyway, Logan comes with an R rating.
Mm-hmm.
And they use the full extent of this R rating.
Yeah, they sure do.
Anyway, let's get into it. What did we think?
We're going to go spoiler free for a while.
Yep.
All right. So I really liked it.
Yep.
As I tweeted last night, I thought it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Thought it was really good. But I have seen so much hyperbole, and I feel like this is starting to happen now with almost any comic book movie that's good,
mm-hmm.
right? Like mm-hmm. Batman v Superman, we pretty much knew first weekend, everybody's hating this thing.
Yeah.
But I remember Civil War coming out and hearing a lot of, this is the best Marvel movie yet. And mm-hmm. I think it has settled into a position where people don't believe that anymore.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of them would go back to Winter Soldier now. And I read a lot about this being the best, one of the best superhero movies ever. And mm-hmm. I feel like it's still so far away from that, that I maybe could give it an A-. I had a really good time watching this movie.
I was not expecting to like this movie.
Really?
Just for whatever reason, I've got a weird association with Johnny Cash's Hurt. And that was in the trailer as it was going through. And just for whatever reason, it's this run of dour-ass superhero films, except for Doctor Strange, which is the exception, which we really liked.
Yep.
Everything, Batman versus Superman, Civil War, had the Sokovia thing,
yep.
Suicide Squad, everything has been ground into grit upon grit upon grit. And this is the grittiest motherfucker that you've seen.
Yeah.
But I ended up really, really being surprised. I really like this movie, too.
Yeah. Chris?
Yeah, I enjoyed this quite a bit, and I'm sorry for anybody who happened to listen to me on Sif Pop if I go over some of the same things that I did in that review and everything, but I really liked this a lot too. In fact, said on Sif Pop that I loved this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason why is that, unlike a lot of the times where you say, like Captain America, Winter Soldier is doing the paranoid thriller mm-hmm. and all other type of stuff, which is not really true to me anyway. It's not really a successful movie that, if you look at it in that light, Logan is a Western.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's a really odd thing to see, and like a unique thing to see in a superhero movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what was so exciting to me, is it's a different setting and the characters are so to the point of they've aged so much at this point that they have new things to do. The actors have new things to do with the characters.
Sure.
And always the thing that I always, the thing that's just completely stark and different about it is, you know, you see how Patrick Stewart acts in this.
Yeah.
Professor X is for me sort of one note all the way through. I mean, we love him because of all of his abilities and his caring, kindness, all this other type of stuff. But he's one note in all these X-Men movies where he's just like, oh, well, let's bring in everybody and let's teach them how to be, how to deal with their powers and everything. And it's like the same thing, the back and forth between he and Magneto and everything is always the same thing.
Yeah.
We got to give these people a chance, and everything. No, why should we give them a chance? You know, it's like it keeps going on and on. And here, Patrick Stewart is actually given a chance to like act and stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of like great moments in this for him. And
well,
the same
and Hugh Jackman even is given a chance.
That's what I was about to get to, is that Hugh Jackman is great in this because of the same sort of deal.
I have this question, though. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it so pertains to what you're talking about. I jotted this down in my notes. Does this movie work at all or remotely as well if we don't have 17 years and 7 movies of this character, Wolverine?
That's a good question.
You know, I actually thought about that, too. I think it would.
Yeah.
Strangely enough.
I mean, I think it would on a certain level, but the only reason I think we feel the weight of his aging and his abilities waning and his alcoholism, what have you, is because we've seen what came before.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, actually. Yeah, because you imagine Wolverine as this impenetrable, beyond reproach superhero that can do anything. He's the only one at the end of Last Stand that can stand up to Dark Phoenix and everything because of his powers. And to see him broken down like that is, you're right. Yeah, but, absolutely.
Well, okay. So in other words, you're saying it can't stand alone then.
I'm not saying it couldn't. I'm just saying I don't think you could start a superhero franchise with this kind of movie.
No.
It is so clearly building on what's come before it for its payoffs.
Yeah, it's, I mean, at this point, I don't know if we're too far beyond people looking at movies like they do their favorite TV shows. Because now it's not, and we don't even bat an eye. There's an 8th Fast and the Furious movie coming out. There's an 8th Star Wars movie coming out. I mean, we don't even bat an eye. That used to be number 8 meant you were really in the dregs of a series.
Yeah.
And now this is the 9th X-Men movie. And so now I don't think there's a distinction there anymore. You're not really, I mean, yeah, you do need that. You do need that 17 years for a lot of this to be impactful, but at the same time.
Well, what I was thinking though, is that if you just had, I don't think it would work if you had no knowledge of Wolverine whatsoever, but if it were comic book lore and then you went straight to this, I think it would hold up very well because it does reference him in the comic books throughout this.
What this movie does right, that a lot of superhero movies do wrong, Batman v Superman, I'm looking your direction, is it focuses the story really tightly, right?
Mm-hmm.
So evidently we've killed all the X-Men in this movie.
Yep.
They die before the movie starts, and we're down to basically just following these three people. And you're right, it is a Western, and it's a chase film.
Mm-hmm.
And I even jotted down, half jokingly, it's basically Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Like, for a while, right?
Yeah.
And, but what makes it work, I think, is the meshing of those genres, the chase movie and a Western, and then just narrowing the focus in on specific characters and what they're going through, instead of the scope being a purple pharaoh god from under the pyramids who's unstoppable and he's blowing up entire. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
The stakes somehow get raised when the stakes go down to just a few people.
Well, and that's a thing that I was on the Sith Pop thing, a point was brought up that, you know, the one thing that one of the reviewers wanted to see was a bigger obstacle for Professor X and Wolverine to deal with for their final battles. And I was like, yeah, but wouldn't you need all the other X-Men if that was the case? I'm glad they didn't go for that.
Yeah,
they
sort of cheat with the kids at one point in the film because there's a bunch of kids that have been given abilities the same way that this girl Logan's looking after. I just jumped into spoiler talk. That gave me a little bit of a First Class vibe where we're seeing these kids who we don't really know their names or their powers, but we see them involved, like the girl who keeps breathing on shit and turning it to ice and shattering it.
Yeah.
So we get a tiny bit of that. But yeah, I'm glad it focused just on basically Professor X and Logan and this girl.
Well, yeah, and their powers are diminished, which makes every confrontation more meaningful. You don't need a pharaoh god or something like that or Brian Cox to be an asshole like that. Like you can just kind of let them have normal conflict. And, it's themselves that's basically that they're kind of running away from, both Professor X and Logan.
That's what adds a really nice dynamic to this, too. We're talking about aging. That's the biggest theme of this movie. You know, it's not always believable in comic book movies where just a random gang of toughs shows up and like hangs with one of the superheroes for any amount of time.
Right.
But in this one, at the very beginning, there is that thing. And you're like, oh, this is actually believable. We see how he's older and like he's not as good as he once was. And of course the Professor X has a thing too, where, his abilities have diminished to a very like sad state, and it adds so much extra to it. It's like a what if that they get to kind of put in there at the very end, and it's like, oh yeah, I really like the way the story goes on that, because you never really thought about what happens to them if they age or if they lose their abilities in a certain way.
Well,
like
I don't
this.
Think they've ever said that Wolverine is immortal. I think they've just said that he has the ability to heal and he ages slower.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Because he's been around for decades.
So as much as we haven't seen broken down older Logan, who, you know, doesn't respond to a bullet wound as quickly as he used to, I really enjoyed this movie. The girl that plays Laura, X-23, she's not given a lot of dialogue. She's given a lot of screen time.
Oh, yeah.
And she's going up against Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pretty impressed that she was able to pull me into her character. I don't even know how much acting experience she's got. She looks 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought she did a great job.
Yeah. It's hard to do that, to act without saying a bunch of stuff.
I know. I think that's what helped it, actually, was the lack of dialogue.
Oh, I love that scene where she's eating cereal and the bad guys are coming in. And she's just kind of looking at the monitor and then kind of looking over her shoulder. And no speed about what she's doing, because she knows what we don't at that point, which is that she's a powerful, powerful mutant. And I'm going to go on record right now saying she's better than Hit Girl. I would rather watch X-23 kick ass than Hit Girl, and that's saying something, because Hit Girl's pretty fun to watch.
Well, speaking of kicking ass, what did you guys think of the violence that was so prevalent in this?
You know, the violence I actually loved.
Me too.
This gave me vibes of the Raid movies in terms of feeling the actual impact of both the wounds that are given to Wolverine, but like, you know, when you see his claws go through the top of somebody's skull and are bloody at the other end, it makes it more visceral.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think they slipped up with the R rating a couple times.
Yeah, well, the big thing you probably got to get into here is because we have an R rating.
Let's show some boobs.
Let's show some boobs for no reason. and let's also have... let's have Wolverine say fuck
180 times.
Yeah. Like there was one scene, and I think it's in the limo, where the dude is in the back seat and he's like telling him, asking him where the woman is or whatever. And I swear, it's just like, let's see how many we can just put in here at this point.
It got to a point where it felt excessive.
Right. I talked about this with Barrett before, but, you know, movies like Spy and stuff like that, where Melissa McCarthy, that it's obvious they let her riff on some things every once in a while. And every time she's allowed to riff, it's like fucking this and fucking that and fucking this. And then it's like, yeah, I get it. It's an R-rated movie.
Yeah.
I get it. It's not offensive to me, but at the same time, cool it
now,
a little bit.
I was offended by, and not for the reasons you're going to think, I was offended by the boob shot.
Yeah.
Because that felt clear to me from a creative standpoint. Somebody literally said what you were starting to say. Because we have an R rating, we can get away with X.
Yep.
Where do we do it? And it's in a montage of clients, limo clients, that Hugh Jackman is driving around. And one chick goes, hey, driver, and pulls her dress, because that happens all the time, I'm sure. Bridesmaids are always flashing the driver of the limo.
Okay, so I'm going to make a defense of the boobs real quick. The only time in that beginning shots, up until maybe a second when he's with the girl, that's the only time he like wryly smiles in this whole beginning of the movie. And you can tell, like, I thought that helped. Yes, it was excessive and it was gratuitous, but I thought that helped kind of humanize him to where he wasn't just this dour.
I disagree.
They could have done so many other things.
I disagree.
Yeah. Gavel. To get that wry smile.
Gavel. Sure. Sure. I'm just saying that, you know.
I agree that the aftermath, yes, yeah. Sure. Find somewhere else to do it. Because that was stupid. That was just.
Boobs make you smile, though.
Oh, my God. Can we get into spoilers now? Have we done enough spoiler-free stuff?
All right, so overall, what we think of this, I would probably give it an A-.
Yeah, A-.
I would give it an
A-,
for sure.
Yeah.
So. I liked it, I think, a little more than Doctor Strange.
I did, too.
No, I like this better than most that have come out in the past few years, probably.
What it's done is grown on me. Because I liked it when I was walking out of the theater and like the Logan card comes up and like, you know, that was a really satisfying start to finish movie experience that happened to involve superheroes. And then the more I thought about it, the more I really like dug it. There's a lot to sink into.
There is. The action is fantastic. It's very R-rated and brutal.
Mm-hmm.
But when the beast comes out of Wolverine in the climactic battle, I was giggling.
Yeah, me too.
I was giggling at how awesome that shit, and especially the little girl, because she has this, like, I don't know, primal scream thing she does while she's, like, slashing an opponent 18 times. She almost reminded me of that Donnie Yen scene that I sent you from Ip Man 2, where he, like, punches dudes, like, 50 times.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, spoiler-free, we recommend, right?
Right. Definitely. All right, on to the spoilers now.
Kevin Spacey is Kaiser Soze.
He's Luke's father is actually Darth Vader. What? She's the sister and the daughter. They just
No. I'm reading the books.
So, okay. So, spoilers about this. First off, I mentioned also in that SifPot review that there's a little bit of Children of Men in this.
I can see that. Yeah.
And that, you know, that there's no more mutants being produced or born or whatever. Mm-hmm. I guess they are being produced because that's the lab that's right. holding them or whatever. So they're not being born anymore. So there's Children of Men in there. Now, Cracked, actually a day after that review, somebody wrote a whole thing saying you shouldn't like Logan basically because it's Children of Men. They argue that the whole thing rips off Children of Men. Now, that may be true, and he put out a case for all the different things that Logan does that's exactly like Children of Men, you know, down to where the hero goes to do this, to that, the own so and the other thing. But I think that's a great model to copy. If they're going to copy a great movie, then why not copy one of the best?
Exactly.
Maybe not score points for originality or anything, but definitely scores points for being a better comic book movie than I've seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. And so that's a great framework to be on. Yeah. So yeah, you may, even if there was intent to rip off Children of Men in this movie, who cares? Great movie.
Yeah. That's funny because I actually wrote, I capped it at Terminator 2 when I was talking earlier, but I actually wrote, this is basically Terminator 2, I Am Legend, and Waterworld.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's trying to get to this mythical dry land by escorting this girl he doesn't really want to escort, and he's not sure if it's going to really exist or not. I'll tell you what, I would have given the movie more points if he had gotten to that longitude and latitude and there was no Eden.
Yeah.
And there were no other kids. And then the rest of the movie could play out exactly as it did.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Spoilers. Mm-hmm. He dies. Mm-hmm. And the girl goes off to find her own life, her own future. Because once they mention the doubt about whether that Eden was real or not, which is where I get my Waterworld vibes from, I knew for sure it was going to be there.
Yeah.
Just like at I Am Legend when he was like, there's no colony. Of course there's a colony. You're saying so hard there's not, there's going to be one. And that, if I have one gripe about this movie, is that I feel like it telegraphs a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Even the scene when Xavier's killed, when Logan comes in and Xavier starts talking to him, it took me about 2 seconds to go, that's not Logan.
Yeah.
Because they never show his face. And so I knew who, I didn't know it was X-24, which is evil Logan, which I have questions about, but we'll get to that in a minute. But I knew it was a bad guy. I knew, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I mean, maybe that's a Western trick that you're doing on purpose. Because it did involve shadows from the door frame and all that stuff.
But you could see him from behind. It looked like Hugh Jackman's physique and everything, and the hair and everything.
But when you take such great care to not show me the face, then you're telling me what's coming.
Yeah, that's true. It does telegraph throughout the plot details, but what I loved about this is the stuff that they don't tell you. They don't tell you what happened to the mutants. They don't tell you exactly what happens to Charles Xavier. They just say he's got some sort of degenerative brain disease.
Well, and you know, it because he is being blamed for all the mutants dying and everything, it's not too far beyond the realm that his dementia, that's basically what's being shown in here, somehow tapped into all the mutants that are being born.
Yeah.
And he's sort of systematically killed them in a way that wasn't anything that he was intending to do.
Yeah, or some great earthquake, like the spells that he has are basically, you know, wiping out everybody in the general vicinity.
Right.
If he were in Cerebro when he did that,
right,
it may be in that Old Man Logan comic.
What's funny is I read an article today. They actually wrote a scene to include the X-Men being wiped out.
And oh, really?
It was in the draft and all the way up until shooting. And then the director decided it made the entire movie about them,
right?
Instead of Logan, and we wanted to focus on Logan. And I loved
great decision,
yeah. And I loved, like you said, the stuff they didn't tell you. I loved all the little future touches, mm-hmm. right? Because we're in 2029 in this movie, so the autonomous trucks is cool to me.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they hadn't scripted Logan to say "frickin' autonomous trucks" or whatever.
Right?
I knew what they were.
Yeah.
But like the drones and like the car redesigns and everything. Uh-huh. The HD video billboards, you know, all of it felt, it reminded me a lot of her in terms of a nice, subtle background world building for your future setting.
The stuff that Xavier's going through in this leads to one of the coolest action scenes, actually the coolest scene in the movie, probably. His ability has gotten to the point where he sends out this sort of a shockwave type of thing where everybody's sort of immobilized.
Yeah.
And the first time we see this, we're like, oh, crap, this is like, you know, this is really bad. The next time we see it, he's actually being attacked in his hotel room. And everybody's sort of stuck there. And Wolverine's the only one who can sort of fight his way through it. And they're all just like standing there motionless.
It was Quicksilver-like, wasn't it?
A little bit. But I love how the one guy at the door, you just kind of see his eyes kind of like dart over. Yeah. He's like, I can't do anything. And then you're sitting there going, man, they're sitting ducks. I hope he takes advantage of this. And sure enough, man, it's one of the bloodiest scenes in the movie because he's just like stabbing left and right all these people in there. That's just great stuff. Like when you can think of something like, see, I think a lot of times movies will come up with a scene like that and they'll find a way to like not have him stab everybody or whatever.
Right.
It would have been like in the PG-13 version, mm-hmm. it would have been sort of like, let's get you out of here or whatever. Yeah. That's what the R rating is good for, you know? Mm-hmm. And you know, the PG-13 rating is when you see Wolverine like attacking people, it's never, you know, it's like he swipes and they're off the screen and you never see any of the aftermath and all that. This is really good
stuff. He takes people's heads off.
I know.
Now, I am really 50-50 on the evil Logan X-24. And before I get into that, I want to say, why is the girl X-23, but X-24 is a full-grown adult? Does the movie explain that?
Yeah, because the next version, so they used the kids as being the host for these mutations, essentially.
Okay.
And growing them from scratch, but they've still got their own personality, their own consciousness. What X-24 is something devoid of consciousness, something devoid of morals and stuff like that, which makes him a perfect soldier.
But they were able to clone him as an adult and only clone the kids as kids?
Yeah, exactly. So they started off with, I guess, just normal human tissue.
So I watch Hugh Jackman fighting Hugh Jackman, both as Wolverines, and I got giddy.
Yeah.
But I also felt like it was a little bit creative cheatery. Like, it's a very Marvel thing to have their hero go up against an evil version of hero.
It's happened many times.
It has. And this movie basically has three Wolverines in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was enjoying the fact that two of them were not fighting each other the whole movie until X-24 shows up. But I will say, at that farm, when the girl finally gets after him, and it's the girl versus evil Logan... That may be my favorite scene in the whole movie because she fucking wails on him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's not like he doesn't fight back, but she's fearless.
Yeah.
Like, I love that fight so much. She's like, ah!
Well, and that's what you're...
And then you have Eric LaSalle ex machina.
Yeah. Well, you know, just for a moment.
That's a great scene they threw in there the because it's a tragic scene. The idea that, you know, Xavier helps them out with their sheep or whatever. Is that what it is?
Horses.
Horses. Horses. helps them out with that, and they're ready to just go. But the family's like insistent, like,
yeah,
you guys come along with us. Now, honestly, they could have said probably not a good idea and, yeah, and moved on. But they you know, they actually took in this hospitality and said, all right, we'll have the home cooked meal and all that. Let's get out of there as soon as we do that. But they keep telling them, you know, stay over the night and all sort of, yeah, type of stuff. And it's like, it's almost Shakespearean in, mm-hmm, a way, because it's like, come on, guys. You're just signing your own death notice.
It almost is. I wrote in my notes that Logan basically kills that farm family.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
He has to know it.
Yeah. That's why there's a conflict at the end when Eric LaSalle, who is completely within his rights, I think, in the situation to want to kill him,
yeah,
over this, you're sitting there going, you kind of want him to do this.
Yeah.
You kind of want, you know, like, it's a really conflicted scene.
Mm-hmm. You know how many times they've caught up to you. You know they're following you. You,
yep,
could at least reason that they're tracking you somehow. Yeah. Right?
Right.
Yeah. So I have a few little gripes that are nitpicks, and I don't, mm-hmm, want it to make it sound like I didn't like the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing that really drew me out of the movie was that goddamn woman's spy video inside the lab.
Oh, yeah.
The
that was terrible.
She fucking professionally edited that shit with Adobe Premiere. And she got unprecedented. There's a shot in that montage that's being shot on a cell phone cam, a close up of an arm getting an, yeah, illegal drug shot into
right,
it. When the whole thing opens with her being like, shh, I'm going to put my phone around the doorway and show you this. Like,
yeah,
she's,
yeah,
being surreptitious,
yeah,
about it. And then she delivers this 60 minute expose
with voiceover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I was so frustrated, yeah, because you could just have her tell the information on a short, desperate video to Logan or what have you.
Yeah.
And you could even show footage to me, the viewer, in such a way as I know it's her memory and it's not like actual video she,
yeah,
shot inside,
well,
the facility.
If she's going to shoot video, then it's going to have to be something that's way less than what we see. Like, it's going to have to be, you know, yeah, I mean, she's got to be like holding it up.
And she's in the surgery room.
Yeah.
I couldn't get over it,
yeah,
man.
It's pretty funny. What are your other nitpicks?
Well, I felt like, I wrote down that it feels like about the 2/3 way through this movie for about 15 minutes becomes Logan passes out and wakes up somewhere new. Logan passes out and wakes up somewhere new.
Mm-hmm.
Logan passes out and wakes up to learn new information.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it happens like 4 or 5 times in a 15, mm-hmm, 20 minute stretch. And I don't know. I'm curious. I'll toss that out to you guys, that it felt like a little bit lazy to me. Like, we've got to get to this next piece of exposition. It,
yeah,
felt like a wipe in one of the Star Wars, yeah, movies.
I like that. You know what it made me, what it reminded me of was The Matrix, when Neo passes out because his brain, you know, can't handle it.
Yeah.
And then he has those kind of waking moments where Morpheus,
oh,
is,
yeah,
telling him what's
but
going on.
But that's not happening 5 or 6 times in the movie, though. That's happening, that's one time.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit overwrought, but I kind of like that because it gives you a chance to catch your breath and realize how much pounding this dude has taken,
mm-hmm, yeah,
over the course of this movie.
Well, and if
so
you're trying
far
to put us in his perspective, he's learning those things, mm-hmm, and finding himself in new places, and so we're with him on that particular part of the journey, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll have to look to see what my other gripes were, but one of you guys go ahead with something else.
One of my only gripe with it is the villain expositing at the end while, mm-hmm, Logan is, you know, supposedly dying. That he's the roid juice is,
oh,
is worn off.
Oh, let's talk about the roid juice, because Logan is behind everybody.
Yeah.
The kids are halfway up the mountain. The bad guy soldiers are after them and Logan. And he stops behind a tree, takes out his backpack and shoots up the hormone,
yeah,
juice, leaves it there. But a henchman finds it. In the chase after the children, there's a shot there where the henchman brings the blue backpack and the fucking empty bottle of green juice to the bad guy.
Yeah.
That's the only reason he knows to say that juice is wearing off. That's the only reason,
oh,
he even knew Wolverine,
yeah,
took the juice.
Mm.
Because they conducted a 1,000-person step-by-step search of the woods. They can't find people that go missing in the woods, but
yeah,
this guy found an empty glass bottle and a backpack,
but,
and it was a mile behind where they should have been.
Yeah.
But speaking of that roid juice...
Sorry, I interrupted.
That was a badass scene.
Oh, my God.
Talk about not cutting away. That showed him from... You could tell this was just this huge action set piece that they were couldn't wait to get into. But starting from... You know, you talk about giving away, you know, kind of telegraphing things. As soon as you see that note saying, don't take this all at once.
Right.
You know
he's going to do it. And you also know he's going to die.
Yeah. And man,
you hear this.
Yeah,
and awesome. He just
yeah, that's the best.
Slaughters everybody.
Man, there's a video online today of him doing ADR for some of that stuff.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Screaming and grunting in that voice studio. It's pretty awesome.
That is a thing that normally I don't find satisfying in movies is grunts and screams and stuff like that. But that one is particularly good, and the girls too
yeah.
is like you were talking about earlier, alluded to. Every time she does that scream, I'm like, there's some dopamine that gets into my brain. I'm like, it's like, yeah, she's about to kick some ass. I can't wait.
Well, and you mentioned how it was shot. I felt like, you know, while this didn't give me the Raid or Raid 2 levels of steady tracking one shots, I never felt very disoriented during these fight scenes. I felt like I knew who was where and who was doing what damage to whom. And considering what's actually, if you contemplate what's actually happening on screen, it's kind of a wonder that he was able to shoot it in such a way. Because, you know, you can't actually stab people through the skull in real life when you're making a movie, because that's murder.
Yeah.
But to be able to shoot some of these scenes in such a way to show me that in a fluid shot while showing me something else,
mm-hmm.
and God, he's got moves in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, you thought you liked Wolverine before. If you liked watching Wolverine fight ever, you need to watch this movie.
That's the thing, right? The action scenes here, I wouldn't say have any less cuts than anything that I've seen in, like, an Avengers movie or whatever. Mm-hmm. The problem when the Avengers does it is that they're trying to keep up with 500 characters.
Right.
And they're all in a huge, like, stage, basically, like, all sorts of different places. So when it goes from one battle and cuts 100 times in that battle and then cuts over to another one and cuts 100 times in that battle, at some point you just lose your sensory overload at some point where it's not even exciting anymore. In Logan, there's never a huge battle space.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they're in the woods, it's not. It's like confined to the one clearing, basically.
It's like First Blood type of action.
Yeah. And like the very beginning scene, he's just right next to his limo.
Yeah.
That's all it is. I don't mind it when it gets to that, when it's at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's like, you know, all a sprawling, you know, big, huge action scene that keeps doing that, then it's not exciting anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I found another nitpick I want to mention.
All right.
See, it's pretty rare for me to even make notes for a mini pod. Like, because I just saw this movie yesterday.
Uh-huh.
But I had such specific nitpicks. So I wrote down, you cannot drive a limo full of bullet holes and broken glass from south of the Mexican border to Vegas without being pulled over.
Yeah.
Cannot.
That's true.
That would be an impossible. They even pull a joke out of its appearance when the valet in Vegas takes a look at it and he has this look on his face.
He's like keep it close.
Yeah. Like, holy shit. But yeah, I think they would have been pulled. Now, it's 2029. For all I know, there's no fucking police.
Yeah, that's legal.
Yeah, totally. They changed the laws. I guess if I had one nitpick about the X-24, it's that if you have the ability to make one of those, why not make lots of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously.
And I was like, it's like, if you're going to go and you're basically trying to track down Logan and all these other stuff, why don't you just have like 10 of them? You know, he can't survive that.
Yeah. Clever editing.
I will say, if they shot on actual location, North Dakota is fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
If that's actually the North Dakota Canadian border, it was like something out of a Tolkien book.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
What'd you guys think of Boyd Holbrook?
Oh yeah, he's good.
Who?
I thought the villain, the primary guy,
robot arm guy.
Yeah.
Pierce. I actually wrote down that he was a little too much Ajax from Deadpool for me.
Oh really?
I didn't hate him, but you know, there's only so much smarm you can give a villain to have that be their main thing,
mm-hmm.
right? And
yeah.
his main thing in this movie is just trying to needle Wolverine with insults and barbs and smarminess. So I kind of felt like it was a little one note, but I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
I wasn't like, oh, that villain's terrible. Now the scientist guy, who's that?
Richard Grant.
Yeah. I wasn't a big fan of him and his appearance because he's just a little cartoony as an actor for me. And again, we've got evil government scientists.
Yes.
This is how we got Wolverine in the first fucking place back in the 70s.
And the little girl's Daphne Keene. She's mm-hmm. really good in this.
Yeah.
I mean, and we talked about that, but just wanted to mention her name.
Now, I have seen, okay, so the whole thing about his grave at the end where she turns the cross into an X.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people talk about that the way I feel about the end of the Iron Giant. And it didn't affect me that. In fact, I was actually kind of like, oh, that's not cheesy at all. A literal X on his grave.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't bother me and it's cheesy. But I've saw people on Twitter like, it gave me all the feels. And I was like, ah, why?
Oh, that's weird.
Is it because he's dead?
I just thought it was a cool little
twist, a good little tribute, yeah, I think. Yeah. I mean, I agree it's probably overblown. But I do like the idea because she's never shown any sort of like, she's never shown that she really cares about Wolverine the entire time. You kind of can get there. You know that she's
there's a bit of a bad Santa vibe going on in this movie.
There is kind of a bad Santa vibe. But for her to do that at the end is sort of a touching thing, I think, for her. After all, she really didn't like.
I think she did.
Wasn't she screaming "Dad" at the farm when she was being attacked?
Yeah,
there was that, and then she was, you know, she's posting watch over him while he's healing and all that stuff. But I think the X thing probably came from just her obsession with the X-Men comic books.
Yeah, I just think it's a good punctuation at the end. And yeah, to say that it's like it makes you feel all the feels and everything, it just depends on your level of commitment to this.
Also not a fan of them going all Lost Boys for 5 minutes to trim his hair into mutton chops. That felt like it was out of hook. Like all the kids are like, scissors are coming in here and there, and then all of a sudden he's got this iconic comic book mutton chop face. All right.
The funny thing about that, you guys probably didn't feel this at all, but I got really big Mel Gibson vibes with his appearance throughout this whole movie.
Oh, interesting. Because of how Mel looks these days.
Yeah, he looked exactly like Mel Gibson in, like, Get the Gringo. Like,
that's
those
funny
straight
because Mel was one of the names they thought might get Wolverine way back before they cast a relative unknown Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
But Mel Gibson was one of the ones they talked about.
Nice. Aussie.
Anyway, so I think it's a fitting end to this character's arc. Watch them pull him back into some movie set prior to 2029, now that I've said that.
But it would, I mean, I guess they're also saying, though, that it's not going to be Hugh Jackman if they do happen to do that.
Oh, okay.
I mean, right? I mean,
he has publicly said he's done.
Because if they do another X-Men, it's going to be before 2029, so they can always have somebody else. Although, I would hesitate to put Wolverine in anything in X-Men related after this, you know? It's just why?
This is such a great tie-up. I mean, everybody, the way that they were marketing this was that this is the end of Wolverine. Like, you basically know he's probably going to die at the
end of this.
Man,
if they were smart, this would be the end of X-Men, and the next batch of movies is all those fucking kids crossing over Eden into Canada when they grow up in 4 or 5 years and are teenagers. And then, you know, we've already got a female version of Wolverine right there, who's awesome.
And
right?
They're all Canadian now, so they're all polite, they eat poutine.
Yes.
I feel like they're still going ahead with another one with the current cast, and they're still going to do this Dark Phoenix thing with, what's her name, from Game of Thrones? Sophie Turner. Well, but they should just follow these kids.
But yeah, I mean, and if they do, then you just have a bunch of futuristic X-Men at this point. It's after the 2029.
I mean, if they created a massive robo Wolverine with X-24, and you know, they could go up against a hybrid of Magneto, or fuck, they could do whatever they wanted. They created a blank canvas with this movie, basically. I know it feels like we're ending Wolverine, but it almost feels like we're beginning a new chapter in what this cinematic universe could be.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's something that by the end of it, I was like, yeah, if these kids grow up, then we have futuristic X-Men from this point.
I mean, I would watch a movie with them right now. They don't even need to grow up. Just 10-year-olds kicking ass.
Well, if there is going to be another nitpick out of this, it's that they weren't developed very well at all. And I agree that it would be fun to see them, you know, kicking ass and everything. But, you know, we're sitting in a movie that's 2.5 hours almost. I can see why they didn't go through all that. But at the same time, I was like, who does what in this whole thing? And, you know, by the end of it, they're like wrapping that dude up in grass and all this other stuff. And
it was a good death scene.
It's a great death scene, but it's like, who's doing what? You know, who's
what I liked about that, I agree, it was nebulous, but I did like that it was like 3 or 4 of them using their powers all at once on this guy to basically cocoon his ass in like plants.
Although it was funny, there was one shot of the little chubby boy running his ass off, and this grown
military dude taking forever to chase him down. That was like, come on, man.
I watched this on the Thursday at 10 o'clock show. It was a packed house and everything. When they saw that little kid running, there was just like laughter all over the place. I felt so bad because I was like, oh, poor kid.
Poor fat kid.
Yeah. I know. I was just like, oh, man. Oh, man. Yeah, you're going to be known for being that little boy running through the forest. And your little, you know, your tiny steps and your wobbly ass and all that.
I will. Another telegraph I thought was the, I know we're almost done and I'm just bringing up shit. It was the adamantium bullet.
Oh, yeah.
Because once we find out there's an X-24 who's basically just like Wolverine, there's no question what's going to happen.
Right.
No question where that bullet's going, who's going to pull the trigger.
Yep.
So, again, a little telegraphed, but one of the most highly enjoyable superhero movies, except for Deadpool, that I've seen in maybe 3 or 4 years.
I agree.
And yep. I said in my tweet that this is the best one, best X-Men movie since First Class for me. Now, I guess technically some people count Deadpool as an X-Men movie. Which I could see that to an extent. Yeah. I wasn't counting that one when I said that.
Yeah. I don't consider it an X-Men movie.
So, cause I know Days of Future Past, a lot of people love that one. It wasn't quite as good as First Class for me. And then the Apocalypse was just garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was a fitting end. It's crazy that we had a whole trilogy of Wolverine movies that, if you look at them as a whole, is like 70% shit.
Yes, yes.
Well, yeah.
The last one's really good.
Who would have thought that the last two, like, awesome, like easily talked about, most talked about comic book movies came from Fox in the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Because they've been drowning, man.
Yeah.
The X-Men movies that they've come out have been hit and miss. Fantastic Four is terrible.
Mm-hmm. Coming soon, a rated R Fantastic Four reboot.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to say it's fucking clobbering time.
That's right. That's right. Because, yeah, that makes it better. Somehow.
Sue Storm's going to show her boobs in the back of a limo.
Of course.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Hey, driver.
Yeah. Okay. So we all enjoyed this. We all gave it like an A- and everything. I think this is a really good movie. And it's, it just shows if you can do these a little bit different. Marvel.
Yeah.
there's reward to be had from it. You sell the movie by being, you know, trying to do something different. You sell it by saying, hey, this is a Wolverine movie. People will come no matter what. And you just make it good. Make it as good as you can. Don't make it this bullshit that you keep making, man.
Yeah.
Stop making this bullshit, Marvel.
Yeah.
Anyway, that'll do it for this mini-pod.
Mini-pod. Mini-pod. Logi-pod.
Logan. Well, this is Chris Atkins and Jeremy Scott and Barrett Sherr. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.
Let's do another one tomorrow.
Yes.
Let's see how long we can keep this going.
That's a good idea you had just there.
Cha-cha-cha-chia. We're going to have a mini-pod orgy.
That's not going to be an orgy. An orgy of evidence that we saw a movie.
No, I mean, two in a row.
Three
I guess
in
that's
a row.
Not... Well, three episodes in a row. Yeah. Yeah.
That's bonkers.
Sincast orgy, I guess. Is what it is. Although, if it's not all at the same time, I guess it's not technically an orgy. It's more of like a succession of trysts.
Yes.
Or trysts.
Masturbatory trysts.
Succession of masturbations.
At the masturbation station.
Yes.
I do like Pam Grier pointing a gun at me now.
Yeah.
She's really pointing it at me, if we're honest.
I guess so, yeah.
Now, Ben Stiller's pointing a gun in your general direction.
Yeah, it's over my shoulder, though.
You move in the right place,
I
headshot
fart
you.
In your general direction.
Jack Black is definitely screaming at me, though.
Yeah, he is. He's angry. He's angry, Jack Black.
What's going on here?
Yeah, I think assuming that's her belly button is a pretty big stretch.
Yeah, I'm assuming that is some model that they got.
That's a good belly button, though.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, like, that's not really my thing, but if it were my thing,
oh,
that would be,
my
like,
thing.
My shit right there.
I mean, think about this. That movie poster is 95% naked human woman skin, but because it zoomed in tight and it didn't show any naughty bits.
Right.
But it's probably one of the nudest movie posters ever. Nude-est.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
unexplained bacon.
Yeah.
Baking up that sausage, boy.
Yeah. But Dad, my heart hurts.